This is Kelly Higgins Divine on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
Professor Rolly Sussex, as I mentioned, celebrating 20 years at the ABC this year. Hey, Rolly.
Hi, I've loved it. This is one of the sweetest institutions I've worked for.
Oh, it's a lovely place. Thank you. And 20 years, you must have seen a lot of change in language over those 20 years.
Yes and no. Certain questions like gotten keep on coming up. Others, some of the more recent things coming out of texting, say, weren't around then. But it all began because I'd done a few odd interviews with ABC Radio in the 90s. And in 97, right about Easter, someone rang up from the ABC and said, look, people are complaining about the public use of language. Would you like to come and do a program? And I said, oh, all right. You know, and as soon as I got into the studio, the phone lit up like a Christmas tree, and we've been going ever since.
And it has continued to light up like a Christmas tree.
Except that we don't do Christmas trees.
So let's talk about Americanisms. Was that one of the big issues 20 years ago?
It has been for quite a long time. Americanisms hit us first probably during the 30s with the talking films, and then in the during the war years with all of the American servicemen on R&R. And then after the war, when Britain was exhausted, America just moved in to fill up all of those slots, you know, commercial and diplomatic and so on. Yep. And we started, you know, Holden became part of GM, and so we got a major American influence in the car-making industries. And since then, I've got about 10,000 words and phrases of American origin, which are in some use in Australia. Some of them, like okay, are hugely common. And some of them are a bit more specialized, depending on whether you are a cook or a computer scientist or whatever. But one of the important things, I think, is that when I was little, you know, back in the 50s, jeans were worn by working men, and you didn't pay huge amounts of money to have jeans with prefabricated holes in. Nowadays,
I've paid good money for those jeans
and for the holes as well.
Recently, oh yes.
And so I think we've actually lost track of a lot of words which are American in origin, and they just become part of our everyday language, possibly 10%, possibly more.
Is this also the influence of entertainment?
Yes.
TV, movies, where we're inundated, we're saturated with American.
That's right. Now, that's going back probably to jazz and New Orleans. And by the way, it used to be New Orleans, not New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. It sounds funny, doesn't it?
Does.
And you know, L.A., we used to say Los Angeles, and now people just say L.A., they know, or San Fran.
Yeah.
Indicating, I think, a lot of familiarity. Even quite obvious things like have a nice day is an Americanism, you know, as the person in the supermarket.
Have a nice day.
Have a nice day. Without looking at you, and obviously with no particular
they personal connection. They don't care whether you really have a nice day or not.
But if they don't say it, you think, oh, they must be having a bad one.
Yeah.
You know, what's gone wrong? Have I done something which has offended? And it's across the board. There are heaps and heaps and heaps of words. The Americans invented fast food. So that it's appropriate that they gave us Franks for Frankfurters and subs and ketchup rather than tomato sauce. And hamburgers and burgers and a six-pack, whether it's six cans. By the way, can is American. It used to be a tin way, way back. A lot of people have forgotten that.
Yes.
That's a generational thing. Or a six-pack, of course, is your well-defined abdominal muscles, if you have any. I'm working on it. Coke for Coca-Cola.
Yes.
One of the two most known words on the planet. But then there are other things. Cookie is an obvious one. There are people who swear to me that a cookie has got bits of chocolate in, you know, as in identifiable pieces of chocolate, whereas a biscuit is something more general and anonymous. And there's even a company which makes Anzac cookie biscuits.
No. We won't be having that, Rolly.
But they do.
They need to be spoken to quite harshly.
You can do that. There's a lot of vegetables like zucchini, which is courgette. Now, zucchini is the Italian word, And there was an enormous influx of Italians into the US, and they brought with them a lot of cooking vocabulary. We stayed with the French following the British, so we've got courgette, aubergine. And,
do we? Because I would always call it a zucchini.
You would now? I think this is, again, something
this
in the last
changed.
Last 20 years, which is... courgette, I think, is... I found it in some more upmarket and British cookbooks. Mm.
Yes.
You know, indicating a certain care for continental cuisine and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Zucchini is what you'll find it advertised as in the local greengrocers.
Yep.
Aubergine for eggplant.
Mm-hmm.
One that people don't use here very much. So we have snow peas. They have mange tout, M-A-N-G-E-T-O-U-T.
I've never
which
heard
is French and
that.
It means, no, that one hasn't made it here.
Mm.
But scallions are starting to for spring onions.
Mm-hmm.
What actually started this off was I was in the supermarket going through the checkout yourself thing.
Yep.
And I wasn't quite sure whether the sweet corn was going to be under S for sweet or C for corn.
Mm.
Or possibly even M for maize.
Where did you find it?
I found it under S for sweet corn, having looked for C for corn
for
first.
For corn first.
So that it's persisting. But I think corn is now much more common than sweet corn.
When
I was younger, sweet corn was the only way. The Americans have beets where we have beetroot.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, hasn't made it. And a couple that they're known to people who cook off the internet the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
Things like rutabaga, which is a Swede.
Yes.
We don't eat Swedes much here anyway.
No.
And arugula instead of rocket.
Mm.
And rocket in this country is spelt either R-O-C-K-E-T or, with a little bit more pretension, R-O-Q-U-E-T-T-E, the French one. You'll find both on packets.
Is it rocket or roquette?
Well, but people say both. And, of course, the Q-U-E-T-T-E one looks and sounds French, and roquette, I think, sounds...
Is it correct? Is it actually roquette?
Both are heard.
Okay.
And there is the problem with R-O-C-K-E-T, is that it's something you shoot.
Yes.
Up from the ground.
Into the air.
Yeah, we won't talk further about that. So the all sorts of things, I mean, apart from, bourbon, which we didn't used to drink very much in days gone by, now a very common drink, and quite a few cocktails, which were invented from America. The whole cocktail, you know, the idea of a book of cocktails that a bar person would have.
Yes.
has now become common here as well. We weren't a cocktail drinking place at all.
Mm.
And in fact, when I was little, we were a beer drinking place. I left in 1956 to New Zealand. And if we drank wine, it was often called Hock. Now, that was German for Hockheimer.
Mm.
And it wasn't very nice either. Or there was Matthäus Rosé, which was in those days in a flat bottle.
Yes.
And then you used the bottle for candles afterwards with your parties.
Mm.
Many things have changed. There's an apartment and a flat.
Mm.
Now, if you had one, which would you prefer to have?
An apartment.
Exactly. Why?
Sounds better.
It does. And an estate agent acquaintance of mine tells me that a flat has probably got a shared loo, an apartment has probably got an ensuite and a view and possibly a jacuzzi as well.
Yeah, if I hear the word flat, I'm thinking of something very plain.
Very basic, yes.
Yes, an apartment should be a little bit more swish.
Right. Now there, of course, the American word has grabbed the top end of the market, leaving our word at the bottom end of the market.
Yes.
And this
unit is the new word.
Unit is the new word, yes.
Mm.
And that is propagating a lot, although units are sometimes horizontal and sometimes vertical, I think.
Mm.
Again, we'd need someone from estate agents. Realtor.
Realtor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of an estate agent, that's American.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you put out the... Now, it used to be the rubbish.
Yes.
Now, the rubbish man used to come and get it. It's now trash or garbage, both of which are American. Trash has, I think, been promoted a lot by its use in computers, by that little icon of a rubbish bin.
Mm.
Or a trash can, in the corner of your screen where you put the things that you want to dispose of.
Yes.
So trash has been given a huge push along by that. Elevator, this is interesting because usually the American words that win are short.
Mm.
But elevator has beaten out lift. And you will...
I was caught on that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I still like lift. And remember, Schindler's lift is a very nice play on words for Schindler's List. Because there is a lift maker called Schindler.
Schindler.
Yeah.
Mm.
But again... Now, here's one which you wouldn't possibly get, yard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yard in America means the area around your house.
Mm-hmm.
And because American houses are like this, you often don't have a front fence.
Yep.
It's an open space. We used to have a backyard, but I think the front garden.
We didn't often have
didn't
a front
talk
yard.
We didn't talk the yard. We played in the backyard. The kids were sent to play in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have a yard as such.
meaning at the front.
The generalized space around the house. Yeah. Front was definitely carefully tended, and you took out the weeds and you mowed the grass and you cut the edges. The back garden was where the kids made a mess and had their
trampoline and the sand pit
and the swing set, and nowadays things like swimming pools.
Mm.
And the more you look, the more you see that the American influence has penetrated all sorts of areas. And the business about the draft in sports is an American principle.
Yes.
And the way you trade players. And by the way, trade isn't, again, and in its commercial use, is more American than ours.
Mm-hmm.
And from baseball, we have zone defense, or rather defense, and double teaming.
Yep.
And the coach might sit in a dugout, or the players do.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, all of these are American things. And a turnover, when you give up involuntary control of the ball.
Yes.
All of those. And before we get on to, say, cricket, I've heard someone in a cricket commentary say, so-and-so's got to step up to the plate. Now, that's baseball.
Yes. Step up to the crease,
exactly, yes. And one ought to keep the games, I think, a little bit separate if possible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's becoming increasingly difficult, even with a game like cricket, which is barely played in America.
Mm.
So we, and again, the big important thing about all of this is that it's not the Americans pushing it on us.
Yep.
We're pulling.
All right, let's, Rolly Sussex, get to a few questions. Linda at Carina, hello.
Good afternoon.
Your question for Rolly.
Well, I'm just wondering whether an hijack is a word we've gotten from the Americans.
Gotten from the Americans?
I knew you'd like that.
All right. Now that we've identified, yes, it's originally Americans, around about the 1920s, actually. No one knows where it comes from, but you could hijack wagons and things, or trains in those days, and nowadays people hijack aeroplanes. So you're quite...
That far back. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. It's 1920s. It's about 200 years old. Sorry, about 100 years old. But it's kind of changed its focus of vehicle that you want to take control of.
Okay. And was that used in the Americas? Or
it was used in North America, yes. And it was the illegal seizure of some mode of transport. There you go.
Thanks, Linda. Great question.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Linda from Carina, if you would like to ask Rolly Sussex a question, 1300-222-612 today, talking about Americanisms. Peter is at Melanda. Hello.
Hello there.
And your question for Rolly.
Yes, Rolly. Look, I'm fascinated by the phrase, you guys.
Mm.
We're just hearing it so much more in the last 2 years, as far as I'm concerned, and just addressing even just groups of women in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I assume it comes from America.
Yes.
And it's quite a little bit controversial, I think, in the sense that even our former Australian of the Year was concerned about the lack of diversity now when we try to use that expression.
That's right.
Love to hear your opinion on it.
Mm. It originally goes back to Guy Fawkes, actually, which is certainly British, and the Houses of Parliament and an attempt to blow it up, which used to give us November the 5th and Guy Fawkes Day, which we don't celebrate here anymore, and which for younger generations is forgotten.
Yes.
I certainly remember Guy Fawkes Day, and I've celebrated it in New Zealand when I've been there, and more recently in England, but we've given it up, partly because firecrackers can be dangerous.
We're not allowed to have them.
It came via America, where it originally meant men only.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, the way the airlines address you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, one of our airlines used to say that a few years ago. Nowadays, guys can be used of men, of children, of people of groups of mixed gender, and of women only.
Mm.
And so that it's lost entirely any association with maleness.
Yeah, if I was in a group of women and someone said, "Hey guys," I wouldn't even think about it.
You wouldn't even twitch.
No.
It's quite a useful way of saying, because I mean, hey ladies, hey women, hey friends, hey folks.
Mm.
Hey, chaps for men. Chaps sounds terribly British in 1920s.
Yes.
So that in some cases, these words have filled a gap, and because they are useful, and particularly the younger generation takes them up, I still am a little in two minds about guys, but I will use it, although to women, probably not.
Okay.
But kids is another one, by the way, from America. That was originally a baby goat. And nowadays, you know, how many kids have you got? How many children do you have?
Mm.
Right. Asking about children sounds a little fussy. And maybe they go to very expensive schools.
Their children.
Their children.
Chris from Southport, hello.
Hi there, g'day.
G'day. What did you want to ask, Rolly?
Firstly, Rolly, my wife is a literacy tutor, and
yes.
you're her hero. So
oh, thank you.
Good on you. We listen to you all the time. I've actually got three Americanisms that drive me absolutely crazy, and mm-hmm. I'll just list them, and then perhaps you can comment individually on them.
Right.
The first one is the use of the word absolutely.
Uh-huh. Like you just did.
Mm-hmm.
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 The
okay.
second one, that's right, see it creeps in. The second one is right now.
Mm-hmm.
In a phrase, it might be, I'm going to the shops right now.
Rather than just and, now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, I watch a lot of professional golf, and in America, when someone tees off, someone in the crowd says, in the hole!
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of the English commentators drive them crazy as well. So
wow.
I can leave those with you.
Okay.
Comment.
No okay. one absolutely goes way, way back as a form, but its recent flourishing, there is a story around, and I can't verify it, that Prince Charles was on air somewhere and he wanted a word which was a bit more emphatic than yes, and he said, absolutely.
Mm.
And everybody did an Emperor's New Clothes and followed and did it as well.
Indubitably.
Indubitably. Mm. So that one way or the other, it's long and it's fussy and it sounds overdone, but it's become very, very popular.
Yes.
And we would just have to wait patiently, I'm afraid, Chris, until something else pushes it out. We're waiting for that moment.
Mm. Right now?
Right now, I think that's just general English. I remember
not
hearing
not necessarily
right
an Americanism?
I don't think so, no.
Mm-hmm.
In the hole is an American phrase, which means you're in debt.
Oh.
And if you're playing poker, say,
yeah.
which I don't, and you've been betting and you've run out of your allowance or whatever, and you start running up a tab or something, you're in the hole.
Mm.
So golf is actually... It's a game that came from Holland. The word kolb, K-O-L-B, is the Dutch word for a club.
Mm.
And that's how it came into English first and took root particularly in Scotland,
mm.
Where, and of course, the Scots greens are sometimes famous.
Mm-hmm.
So the story, a lot of the commercialization of golf and the terms that go with it, like, you know, being in the bunker and so on,
yeah.
they're pre-American, but they've been made popular through American usage.
Mm. In the hole.
No.
Haven't heard yeah. that. That would be annoying.
One that is Americanism, which is important, by the way, is momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, momentarily means for a short time. You know, the light flickered momentarily and then went out. I wondered if there was a ship in trouble at sea. Whereas in American English, that means after a certain short time has passed. We will be taking off momentarily, or rather momentarily. And that means that, you know, in 2 or 3 minutes we'll be airborne.
Mm.
And there are cases where you could get quite severely confused by the difference in meanings there.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know the difference.
Garth Vader on Twitter asks, where does bamboozled come from? Is that an Americanism?
Good Lord, I don't think so.
Bamboozled. It's a good word.
It sounds like Hollywood, to cheat or to fool. It's at least 18th century, so it could be American, but the dictionaries I've checked all say unknown origin.
Yep.
So I'm afraid it's one of these ones which we are still guessing about and waiting maybe to discover some letters or private correspondence which lists it somewhere.
Peter's at Dara. Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kelly and Rowley.
A pronunciation question.
Well, I've got to blame Steve Austin for this one.
What did Steve
Some years ago there was an incident called Katrina, and
yes.
every morning Steve Austin would say Hurricane
oh,
Katrina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
hurricane rather than hurricane.
Well, we always used to have hurricane fighters and hurricanes, and then I think people, a lot of newsreaders especially, probably listen to CNN too much. And
or they're Bob Dylan fans, and they've been listening to the hurricane and.
Yeah, and there's just
actually,
another
yeah.
couple I've got is the old lift and elevator, of course.
Yes.
But I've heard an ABC newsreader say missile.
Oh yeah.
For missile, and there's turbine for turbine, and. I just keep thinking of these flying turbines and...
People throwing their hats in the air.
And flying prayer books.
Yes. Well, a missal is a religious book. It's Catholic.
Yep.
And that's M-I-S-S-A-L. And for us, there is a distinction between a missile and a missile.
Mm.
And the missile is the one that flies through the air and goes bang.
Mm.
For the Americans, they're both missile.
Yeah.
And so they've actually lost a useful difference. Hurricane, I've heard this quite a lot in Australia. It's listed by our dictionaries as a second choice, which means it's not the one they favour, but they recognise its existence. Certainly during the war it was a hurricane. The aeroplane was not a hurricane. Except that the Americans tend to call it a hurricane. And remember, in the film Rain Man, I think it was, it was Dustin Hoffman or the other one, Tom Cruise said, "I don't want to go to Melbourne, Australia, to find an airline that doesn't crash or something."
Yes.
The first time I saw that film, by the way, was not on Qantas, and they'd cut that bit out of it. And I didn't find that bit was in the film until I saw it on Qantas sometime
later. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose they didn't want people knowing that.
Negative advertising.
Wait a minute, we've crashed. That's it. Thank you for that, Peter. So hurricane, but hurricane is acceptable as a second option.
Yeah.
Steve from Deception Bay. Hello, Steve.
Hello, everybody. How are we all today?
Excellent. What did you want to ask?
Well, I'm going to take the reverse, something the Australians haven't taken up in their vocabulary of the US. In the American Navy, and Australian Navy, which we can't really compare because their Navy is so, you know, big, but they call aircraft carriers flat tops. They call destroyers tin cans. And they call battleships battle wagons. And we haven't taken that up yet.
Oh, I didn't know the last one. I knew about flat tops. But I've never heard, and Australia doesn't have an aircraft carrier at the moment, I don't think.
That's right.
But the Brits do, and they certainly don't call it a flat top. And the Chinese have been building some, and they are certainly called aircraft carriers in international parlance. So that's got to be an American-only thing. Tin can, do they also call them destroyers?
Well, that's right, yes.
And if you're putting in a tender, you wouldn't say, "I'll build you a tin can for $1 billion.
No.
I think not. But this would be a familiar way that sailors would refer to this amongst themselves, I suppose. By the way, Navy slang in different countries and cultures and different navies can be extraordinarily different. We might go there another day.
I was listening to a talk that was given by, his name's going to escape me, but it was the gentleman who was at the center of the Leonardo DiCaprio movie Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, yes.
Who was the impersonator. And he was getting away with pretending to be an airline pilot. He never flew a plane. He was just getting in the jump seat of these planes and flying around the world because, A, he looked older than he actually was, but, B, he was able to pick up the slang and the language of pilots very, very quickly. And he worked out, and he says this in the talk, that once you'd had one conversation, the conversation was always the same once you got into the jump seat.
Okay. So he got a free ride.
Well, he was flying all over America with Delta. He pretended to be from Delta, never got on a Delta plane because those pilots would go, "Wait a minute, I've never seen you before."
Yeah.
But the other pilots wouldn't have a clue. So
as a courtesy, they let him ride along.
And all the airlines were doing it at the time and just flying each other, you know, around if they needed to get to another city to fly a plane. And that's how important then that insider language is for being a sailor. They'll be able to tell where you're from by what you call ordinary objects, the ship, the boat, whatever it is, destroyer that you're on. And once you know that language, you're right. You'll be accepted.
Also, I imagine with surgeons, there are some people who haven't had surgical qualifications who've persuaded others that they could work and do, but there you need some skill as well.
Yes, because you had the language. Let's hope you're not.
Yeah, right.
Actually,
next time your appendix needs to be taken out.
Exactly. And do you want to go to one more?
Let's
go to Barbara at Tweed Heads. Hello, Barbara.
Hi. Rolly, I play cards frequently.
Yes.
And often if a card is turned up in the pack, it's called a boxed card.
Ooh.
Is that an Americanization?
I don't know. I'm not enough of a card player. I used to play competition bridge a long time ago, but I've never heard that one, a boxed card. I'll look it up and let you know. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank
so this you. Is a, this is when you turn up a card from the deck, yes?
No, when you're shuffling and a card accidentally is turned up in amongst the other cards.
Ah, yep.
Okay,
and
so it's got the wrong way around.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you. New one.
Lovely. Thank you, okay. Barbara.
Thank you. Bye.
Now, Richard from Jindalee has a joke he wants to end on.
All right.
Rolling.
Okay.
Hi, Richard.
No, just a medical thing. So, gentleman's in the birthing suite with his wife, and then he races into the doctor. "Doctor, my wife's gone completely crazy." oh, what's the go? Well, she keeps, all she'll say is, shouldn't have, wouldn't have, couldn't have. Oh, that's perfectly normal. It's just her contractions.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you.
Richard, I want you to go to a mirror and take a long, hard look at yourself.
All right.
Really. Raleigh, Sussex, next Wednesday night. It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a hoot.
The debate that good grammar don't matter no more.
And I am speaking for the affirmative.
You are. No, that yeah. Good grammar does indeed not matter no more.
Anymore.
And it's a double negative, which, well, you can't be on the, you can't support that proposition and then correct me.
I will find a way.
Thank you very much, Raleigh.
Pleasure. You want the last word?
Yes.
Tom Lehrer was a very important American satirical songwriter in the 60s. And he had one called National Brotherhood Week.
Mm.
And before that, he said, I'm sure we, this is apropos of the current battle of words in America about Charlottesville and those awful events.
Yep.
He said, I'm sure we all agree that we ought to love one another. And I know there are people in the world that I do not that do not love their fellow human beings. And I hate people like that.
Here's the song.
Oh, the white folks hate the black folks, and the black folks hate the white folks. To hate all but the right folks is an old established rule. But during National Brotherhood Week, National Brotherhood Week, see Cassius Clay and Mrs. Wallace dancing cheek to cheek. It's fun to eulogize the people you despise, as long as you don't let them in your school. Be grateful that it doesn't last all year.
National Brotherhood Week from the 60s. And although you wouldn't endorse all of that, or most of it, in fact, interesting that that some of that could still stand today in terms of who's hating who.
You're listening to ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.